1. And tonight I want to share with you the remainder of this life of Barnabas. A dedicated man, for a title tonight, it'll be a Christ-like dedicated life. And my friend, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I'll go quick if you'll listen quick, amen? I know Pastor can sign quick because I've seen him do it, amen? But I want to share with you my heart, and I want to share with you where we need to be. It is a joy to be back. It's a joy to see you. Thank you for coming back on a Monday night. Thank you so much. And I hope tonight is a blessing to you. Allow your heart to be open tonight. Allow yourself to be used of God tonight for His purpose and calling in your life to be a better Barnabas. I'm going to reach in my pocket and turn this little thing on here. Quick review. We saw where Barnabas comes to the scriptures and into play. And I think we've got it now. Yes, 1, 2. There you go. That's okay. We're good to go. Amen. So we find Barnabas, and he is a helps ministry missionary. He has a heart to help. He is a helper. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know folks around you that are just helpers? They see a need and they fill the need. They're helpers. They see stuff on the ground, they pick it up. They see somebody struggling with a load, they help them carry it. They see old ladies trying to walk across the street and they give them their arm to help them get the rest of the way across the street. They're helpers. They're helpers in the church. Anytime there's a need, there's a Barnabas there helping. With individuals, but also as a group, always striving to make things better and flowing easier. A Barnabas. A Barnabas, as we saw, that he had given his life and in his dedication. Acts chapter number 4, we saw about him and how he had land and he sold it and he brought the money to the church so that the church could have some needs met. He gave a personal gift, a sacrificial gift, a complete gift, and a humble gift. And my friend, a good Barnabas will do that. A good Barnabas will give up of him. So I'm caught on this string here. Will give up of themselves. I'm caught on the microphone. Give up on them of themselves to help another. So we saw that. I taught you in Sunday school how Barnabas had gone out after he had gotten saved, and now he's trying to help others to get saved and to get them into church. And we saw there in Acts chapter number 9, where Saul, the one who is breathing threatenings against the church, is now saved. He's now born again. And not only is he born again, he wants to get with the apostles. He wants to learn. He wants to grow. And he wants to be a part of this new church. But nobody wanted to do anything with him. Nobody wanted to have a part of his life and helping him but a Barnabas. A Barnabas. So here's my next question. Has there been a Barnabas in your life? Has there been a Barnabas that took you in under their wing? And only that brought you around and showed you the different things of the Christian life and then shared or declared you to encourage you in your walk? Amen. And became a good friend with you and a kinship and then a partnership. And now as a young man will grow up maybe in a church and now surrender for the mission field to now be sent. Has there been someone like that in your life that's been an encouragement to you to help you in your Christian life? We need to say, yes, Pastor's been a great blessing to us. That's why we come here. Amen. But there might have been men, there might have been that one man that was a blessing to you. Or ladies, you might say it was just that one lady. It could be a relative, like I mentioned in my heart the other night about it being my dad. But there was another guy named Bruce. I'm trying to think of Bruce's last name. I don't want to make one up, but I'm going to say Miller, Bruce Miller. But Bruce was the janitor there at the church. And I shared with you how my dad would carry me to the church and drop me off so that I could work my Saturday at the church where I learned how to move tables and mop floors, vacuum floors, and also to do many things around the church. But it was this Bruce. Brother Bruce was instrumental in my life. When it came time for me to think about going to college, he was there to help me and say, you need to go to a good college that'll teach you good biblical principles. You need to go to a good Baptist college. And he said, the one that I went to is pretty good. Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, things have changed. Time has changed. And I would not ask you to go to Jacksonville, Florida, to go to Bible college there at that college. But at the time, it was a good school to go to. My brother went to another school, and others were going to other schools. But you know what? I had a Barnabas in my life to help lead me and guide me. Raise your hand if you have a Barnabas and or had a Barnabas in your life to help lead you and guide you in your spiritual life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that was last night. Tonight, I want to get, no, then we talked about, no, sorry, that was the other night. Then last night, we talked about how he was a church congregation strengthener. We went to Acts chapter number 11, where the disciples sent him, and he saw this new church, and he was deeply satisfied in what he saw. And then he now turns around and encourages this new church in spiritual living. And he himself demonstrates the Holy Spirit and the walk of faith. And what happened was that many souls were saved. And so we see Barnabas growing. And I shared with you the fact if you give your heart to the Lord and you allow God to work in you and on you and through you, the Lord will open doors. Oh, sure, he'll close some, but can I tell you something? Those doors that are closed need to be closed. They need to be closed. You may have a bad relationship with a guy or a gal that's going nowhere, and God's shutting that down. Don't fight God. Let that door close. There's a reason. There's a reason. Maybe a job. Maybe a job is closed down, and that door is closed. Hey, God has a reason, because as he closes the door here, he's going to open another one. Can I get an amen right there? He's going to lead you and guide you in the most unique ways that you would not even think of to guide you to where you need to go. If you just be dedicated and dedicate your life to be a Barnabas, a ministry of helps. You see, tonight I want to pick up from here, and I do want to conclude the life of Barnabas. And that he lived a dedicated life to continue to be, as his nickname was given to him, of being a Barnabas. Of being a Barnabas. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 tonight, I do have much to cover, but I do want to be efficient, effective, and definitely want God to come in. So if you keep notes, my first point is Barnabas, a help in corporate leadership. A help in corporate leadership. Acts 13, verse 1 says this: Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as, who's the number one? Barnabas, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and who's last? Saul. Saul's last. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on their, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let's go into the Lord tonight. The dedication, Christ-like dedication of a heart given to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, we praise you. Lead us tonight. Lord, help me to get on the right track to share your holy word and, dear Lord, to be a blessing. And tonight, dear Lord, I pray that we all can see this life of Barnabas and how he was faithful and loyal to you and dedicated in his witness and his testimony. But, Lord, bless this evening, we pray. All things be done according to your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Barnabas was a help in corporate leadership. We see him at the very beginning. He's just a regular guy that gets saved. The church had a need. He gave to that need. We saw next that there was a need for someone to go out and to help people get into the church. So, I'll do it, Barnabas said. And so he goes out, and he's sitting in the gate, and he's meeting people, and he finds Saul, and he witnesses to Saul, and Saul gives him his testimony how he had gotten saved. Nobody else wanted to do anything with Saul, the persecutor of the church, consenting unto the death of Philip, and finding more Christians to be put to death. Nobody wanted to do anything with Saul, but Barnabas did. Now, we know of Barnabas, but I wonder how many others Barnabas brought into church. If it was only one, my friend, one is plenty, but not enough. We should always be going for more, but may we never lose sight of the one. And Barnabas went after Saul. He was no good. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted to be around Saul. But this Barnabas took him and embraced him and brought him to the apostles. And he grew in the Lord, and he was sent off to Tarsus. And now Barnabas has sent himself to Antioch to be a blessing, to do the same thing. And he sends over for Saul. Saul, I need your help. Come help me here in Antioch. So he comes on over, and he helps him now in Antioch. And Barnabas is the leader, and Saul is still the disciple. He's still learning. He's still growing in the Lord. But you can see Barnabas' progression. He was just a regular guy. And as he served God, he became more than that. He became a witness for the church. More than that, he was sent by the church to address a need at a church, another church. And there at that church, he became one of the preachers. Isn't that cool? He became one of the preachers. Hey, Barnabas, we like you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have great faith. Will you teach us more, Barnabas? What do you think he taught them? How to be a good mechanic? No. He taught them how to be like Christ. How to be like His name. How to be a comforter and a help. Can I tell you something? That's what our churches need. That's what people need today. They need to be challenged, yes. They need to be encouraged in their Christian walk, yes. They need to have a little fire lit underneath them every once in a while. But also there's a time to come down and say, hey, they need someone to know that somebody's behind them and someone's got their back and somebody's praying for them and somebody wants to help them and somebody wants to give and go beyond what others just do temporarily. No, you want to get into and to help. And my friend, Barnabas had taken that step. And now all these other Barnabases are in the church. And the church grew. You want your church to grow? Be a Barnabas. You want to see lives change? Be a Barnabas. You want to see others become Barnabas? Then live a dedicated life as a Barnabas, a comforter, because a lot of people hurting out there. There are lots of people hurting out there who need some help. Who need some help. So Barnabas, a help in corporate leadership. Secondly, he's a help in continued church planting. He's a help in continued church planting. I shared with you last night as persecution came to Jerusalem upon the church that the people dispersed. Some went to Samaria and they had a meeting down there. Others went here and there back to their homes. And some, as we read, went up to this place called Antioch. Church planters, starting new works. Our ministry, my wife and I's ministry, as well as with some other missionaries that we are connected with, that's our ministry to help start brand new churches. I'm excited to tell you that they had a great turnout at the Youngstown Baptist Church yesterday. A brand new church, first service, official service on a Sunday. I don't know how many they had. They took a picture of everybody sitting around tables. They probably had about maybe 30, 35. But evangelistic speaking, they must have had 100, 200 there. Is that right? That's what's going in my newsletter, amen. No, it's not. We'll find out and give the right number. But church planting. See, We ought to bear fruit. A Christian ought to bear fruit of other Christians. We ought to be striving to tell people about the Lord and getting them to church. And maybe I can't really speak on how to lead someone to Christ, but I can get them to church. I know preacher preaches salvation messages, and they can get saved here. Folks have gotten saved not too long ago. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus is still saving today. So that's how we reproduce ourselves. But as we reproduce ourselves, our churches need to reproduce ourselves. If this was the only church, my friend, then America is going to hell in a handbag. But my friend, what we need to do is that we need to get more churches out there with more people coming and people growing and being. And so Barnabas is now sent. He's now sent to address this need of church planting. Acts chapter 13. We read there already in the early part of chapter 13. And verse 3, we see there, back to verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And my friend, they were called and they were sent. And so now they're being sent forth. Acts chapter 13, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. That's significant. Significant number one. When they went, they took off, they're going on their journey, they went to the synagogue. What did they do at the synagogue? They preached. What was a synagogue? That was what we would call the Jewish church. The synagogue was a place of learning for the Jew. They would come to learn the Bible and read the Bible. But they weren't getting all the Bible. They were getting the Jewish faith. And here comes Barnabas and Saul. Let's go to where the people are. And they go and they preach. And they journeyed and they saw people saved. And God blessed in their journey. Verse number 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Amen. Here they are again. They're back at another synagogue. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, have ye any word of exhortation for the people? Say on." Uh-oh, watch out. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." You see him? He was just waiting for a moment to do it. But also I want you to see here is his name's changed. He's now Paul. He's now Paul. We won't go into the reasonings behind all that, but can I share something with you is the fact that at the opportunities, it's still Paul is now growing in the Lord, and Paul is now stepping forth himself. He's now grown in the Lord, and now he's the one taking the lead. And who's behind him supporting him? A Barnabas. And they go, and they grow. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They got more preaching in and more teaching. And they started more churches. Oh, but they had problems. Verse 50. Acts 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Wait a minute. Whose name is first now? Paul's name's first and Barnabas. And expelled them out of their coast. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust from their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So they're traveling. They're preaching the word. They're gathering converts together. They're starting churches. The first missionary official journey. Amen. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, as they've been sent out to go do what God has called them to do. I am skipping a lot here. Verse number 21. Let's go to verse number 20. Chapter 14, verse 20. Acts 14, verse 20. It says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." They're going back home. What were they doing on their journey? Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He says, it's not going to be easy, new converts. It's going to be hard. We must endure, he says. Verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders," in other words, he ordained preachers in every church, "and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And they, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." The very first missionary journey. How God blessed, and they took off on their journey. They had some great times, but they suffered persecution too. They confirmed the new churches. They ordained new pastors for these new churches and taught them to stay with it. Stay with it. I preach a message called "Finish Strong." My friend, we're not under the persecution like they were back then. At least not here. Over in other countries they are. Other countries are being persecuted. We have greater liberty. May we use our liberty to get the gospel out around the world. May we use our liberty to tell our neighbor and our other neighbors and our city and our county and our state and our United States. Well, Brother Holtzko, why should we do that? Because there's lost people. There are a lot of individuals that need to be saved. And there's a need to go. So here's Paul and Barnabas. They were sent on their missionary journey, just like a missionary, just like my wife and I are. And we go and we help start a brand new church, and we go help the struggling church over here, and we encourage this church, and we go in where there is no pastor and help them to get preachers and make recommendations for them. We encourage them to hold strong like we're doing with you. And when it was all said and done, they went back home. In two Sundays, we're going to be back down in Roanoke, Virginia, our sending church. We're going to be doing this exact same thing. We're going to stand up before our church and tell them what all's been happening. And that's what Barnabas and Paul are doing. Because they had a heart for continuing church planting. A dedicated heart to go. A dedicated heart to suffer. A dedicated heart to separate to do the work of God. But here I want you to see my last point. Barnabas was a help in constructive restoration. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15 and verse 36. These are the last verses that we have about the active life of Barnabas. This is all that we have left. I went through and I searched everything. I've got a couple more verses that speak of Barnabas, which we'll get to, but these I want you to see. It says, "In some days after Paul said to Barnabas, 'Hey, Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" Hey, Barnabas, let's go do it again. Let's go see our friends over there in those other cities and counties and states. "And Barnabas," verse 37, "determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now, we read about this guy named John who helped them some time back. you know. But John left. John didn't stay dedicated. John forsook them. So now John is with Barnabas, and Barnabas is doing what a Barnabas does and is trying to restore such an one back into the ministry, back into the work, back into a purpose life. But you know, sometimes there's people in the church that don't understand that. Look at verse number 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul says he didn't. He bailed on us. Man, he's a chicken. He chickened out on us. He left us. He hung us up to dry. He threw us under the bus. He was a part of our team, and when it come time for us to get to the work, he left. It's pretty harsh words for him to say. He is not good for the ministry. You know, there's only one that can truly say he's not good for the ministry. And that's the Lord. That's the Lord. You know, they say of us Christians that we shoot our own wounded. We are the only army that shoots its own wounded. But if we could just show that compassion and be dedicated and show that comfort of a Barnabas to restore a one. What is the value of one? Paul thought great of John here and said, John needs to be restored. Barnabas says he's not good. And they fought about it, verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now we read there a little while ago that Cyprus was Barnabas' home. You know, sometimes to restore such a one, you got to bring him back to the beginning. You got to bring him back to the very beginning. Find out about their salvation, confirm their baptism, get him back reading in the first verse of the book of John and getting them reading their Bible again, starting with the basics. And somewhere along the line, there's a gap that happened here and there. And they had fallen through the gap and had fallen away. And now Barnabas is trying to restore such a one as Mark. Barnabas says he's not good. Paul says Mark is not good. But Barnabas says he is. He is not good. He is. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. They left. Barnabas went one way with John Mark and sailed unto Cyprus to do his work. And Paul, we know the story of Paul. Paul takes Silas and he goes on and he does the same thing. He goes on a second missionary journey and a third missionary journey. And some people think even a fourth. But can I tell you something? We hear no more of Barnabas. Did Barnabas continue the work? Oh, yes, he did. How do you know he continued to work, Brother Holtzclaw? Because the scriptures tell us. You know, when you're doing something good for God, there will be fruit that will remain. There will be fruit that will remain. I want you to turn over into your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Just got a couple more verses to give you. Share a few little comments and we'll be done. But here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 10, Paul is now, this is part of the prison epistles. A prison epistle was a writing by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. He's in bondage. Scriptures tell us and history tells us that he's chained to a guard, a Roman soldier. Others were about him to help him and to meet his needs. And we find here, as he's writing to the church of Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth thee, and Marcus. You know, John's name is also Marcus. We call him John Mark. That's his name, John Mark. And here we find John Mark here. Are you sure this is the same one, Brother Holtzclaw? Oh, look, I see. Marcus, sister son to who? So John Mark was actually Barnabas's nephew. His nephew. He's saying now of Marcus, he said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas. We get these little saying here, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Receive him, he says. And he says, and also Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. But this is what he says of Aristarchus, John Mark, Marcus, and of Jesus, meaning Justice. He said, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a what? A comfort unto me. That name that's in that grouping that have been a comfort unto him is John Mark. John Mark was no good for the ministry before. He wasn't a great comfort. He left. But now Paul says many years later and in prison, John Mark is now a comfort to me. And receive him. I guess John Mark learned something in his journey, didn't he? I say John Mark learned something of how to be a Barnabas. Who do you think he learned that from? A Barnabas. So Mark is now helping and serving. He's also named a fellow worker. He is also a great comfort. Last passage, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Now it is believed that this is Paul's last writing. It is believed that this Paul is writing this last letter to his son in the faith, Timothy, his young preacher, that he has worked with and he has discipled. And Paul, having in mind and knowing that the decree has come down from those above there in Rome, that soon he would have his life taken from him. Soon, history tells us that he would be beheaded. He would be beheaded. And he's writing to Timothy these last few words. And when he writes his last few words, you would think that he's going to write about special people. He would write something special about the people that have stuck with him to the end. And he does. Verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. John Mark. Mark that was no good for the ministry. Mark that I said that he could not do anything more because he left us. But take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is, what's that word? He is profitable to me for the ministry. It says, take Mark, for he is profitable for the ministry. And my friend, the word ministry meaning in a position of servant for the work of the Lord. Barnabas, the example. Barnabas, the one that had shown the way. Barnabas, the one that was always in there, the comforter, who never stopped, who was always lending a hand. He was always ushering others. Even those which he had worked with and had now grown and had now been able to preach the gospel, to now go ahead and as a servant take a second seat to let another shine for Jesus, though still going. Paul had a heart's burden for the great numbers. Let's go visit our converts again. Let's go preach again to the numbers. Barnabas said, sure. But let's not forget the one. Let's not forget the one that needs our help. Let's not forget the one that had fallen by the wayside. Let's not forget the prodigal here. We need to bring them back as well as reach new. My friend, we get so stuffy in our churches and we get so uppity up in our churches. There are some churches that when you walk in, they want to know how much money you make to see if you're going to be part of the membership. They want to know what kind of circles you hang around to see if you're going to be in the membership. I've seen some constitution and bylaws that would make you sick as to who could be a member and who could not be a member. That church is definitely not a Barnabas church. A Barnabas church. You see, we have a legacy to leave when it is our turn to go. When God requires of our heart and life, we need to leave a legacy behind, not just of our own family, which we do, and our family needs for us to do what we're supposed to do. We are to continue to take care of the needs of those behind us and lay a way for them to follow. But not them only, those behind them, but not just our family, but individuals. These kids need an example. They need to see a Barnabas. These teenagers, they need to see a Barnabas. These young adults, they need to see a Barnabas. And folks, these seniors need to see a Barnabas. And my friend, it's that connection. It's that comfort. It's that assistance. Because God puts a great value on the life of one. The song I sang just a moment ago, the value of one. Go sound the horn. Strike up the choir. A sinner is saved. Saved from the fire. No more in darkness. Amen. He's received God's Son. Oh, my friend, we need to sound the trumpet. We need to see more souls saved. We need to see more souls restored into the faith. We need to see more folks. We need to see. But the only way we're going to see is if we are just this two-letter word, be. We need to be that Barnabas. We need to be that Christian. We need to be that witness. We need to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me get you thinking, but more than thinking, let me get you checking, and more than checking, examining, self-examination. Are you really where you need to be in your spiritual walk? Are you really where you need to be as that Barnabas? How about tonight? How about tonight? Living a life that's dedicated and surrendering yourself for that life of dedication to say, God, wherever you may lead, whatever you may do, want me to do, whoever you may want me to talk to, whatever it may lead to, Lord, I'll walk through that door. I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll be that Christian. I'll be that usher. I'll be that Sunday school teacher. I'll be that helper. I'll be that comfort. My friend, can I encourage you to make that solid by making a commitment to be a Barnabas for Jesus? With their heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium, I appreciate your time tonight. My brother's going to come to play a hymn of invitation for us. An invitation is just that. It's an invite. It's an opportunity for those which have heard the word of God and have been touched to the heart to make that decision. It's an invitation for you to come. It's an invitation for you to be by addressing this great need. And yes, you can do it in your pew, but can I recommend walking down the old aisle and hitting a knee, and in bowing that knee, making that commitment between you and God, not between you and me, not between you and your pastor, but between you and God, that from this point forward, you're going to do your best. You're going to give it all. You're going to dedicate yourself to be that Barnabas for yourself, for others, for your church, but more so, more importantly, for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He loved you. He loved you enough to come from the portals of heaven to bleed and to die for your sin, to set you free, to give you a new name, to give you a heavenly home. He paid a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you cannot pay. And that debt is your sin. Your sin separates you from God. But my friend, tonight, God went all the way to pay for your sin. He sent Jesus to die so that your sin can be paid for and forgiven. Why not tonight? Giving your heart to Jesus. Why not tonight accept Him into your life and let Jesus forgive you and let Jesus set you free and let Jesus make you whole, because He is the great comforter. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, who would raise their hand tonight and say, Brother Holtzclaw, I know that I'm saved because I've been born again. There's been a time and a place that I called upon Jesus and I know He saved me. And as a testimony unto the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Praise God. And put your hand right back down. Amen. Would there be anybody here tonight all the way around the auditorium who would say, Brother Holtzclaw, I could not raise my hand a moment ago because I do not know. But I sure would like to know. I sure would like to know that I'm going to heaven. I sure would like to have my sins forgiven. Brother Holtzclaw, would you pray for me tonight? And I will, my friend. I will pray for you that God will save you. But my prayer won't save you. It's you talking to God tonight. So who would say, Brother Holtzclaw, would you pray for me? Here's my hand. All across the room. Anyone? I do not know. Thank you, girls. I do not. You'd like to know? Okay. See what we can do. Someone to talk to you, okay? Wonderful. Just stay right there. You're okay. I see it. Thank you, sweetie. I would like to know. Little ones need to know. And need to have that opportunity to. But now with their heads bowed and eyes closed, here's the big question. Who tonight would say, Brother Holtzclaw, I haven't been the Barnabas that I could be. But tonight I want to make that dedication and be more dedicated and more of a help and more of a servant. As my Savior was for me, Lord, help me to be a Barnabas too. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, who would raise their hand and say, Brother Holtzclaw, that's me. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. I want to be more. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. Can I encourage you? If you can, if you just raised your hand, when the music begins to play, solidify that. Make that sure by coming to an old-fashioned altar and giving it to Jesus tonight. It's between you and Him. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to pray in the front row. But why not tonight, all of us, if you can, come and rededicate your heart to the Lord. And rededicate your life to be a Barnabas for Jesus. As we all stand, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we praise You. And we pray that You'll lead us and guide us, dear Lord, tonight as we're all standing across the auditorium and lifting our voice, dear Lord, in prayer. I pray, dear God, that You'll move in our hearts and help us to see this life of this one named Barnabas. And dear Lord, if I could just live a little bit of that life, dear Lord, tonight I want to dedicate my life to You. To do more. To be a greater servant for Thee. And I pray, dear Lord, these which raise their hand will be obedient to come. And others, dear Lord, if God spoke to their heart in one way or another about something, that, dear Lord, they'd be obedient to come. And, dear Lord, to talk to You about what You've already talked to them. But, Lord, bless this invitation with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The music begins to play. Can I encourage you to come as one has already come? Pastor?
Jesus paid it all. 146. Go ahead and play.